Good morning. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock. Well, former Big Apple Mayor Rudy Giuliani leads the pack of Republican presidential candidates, but his views on abortion have Christian conservative leaders threatening to take a bite out of his campaign. Well, what is the impact of social issues on the presidential race? And will Christian voters follow their leaders? Those are some questions we'll take up this hour. As New York Mayor, Giuliani supported abortion rights, and he was considered more liberal on various social issues. He's been tempering his views on abortion, but that doesn't have Christian leaders any less worried. Last weekend, a number of them supported a resolution saying that they'll consider running a third-party candidate if a pro-abortion candidate wins the Republican nomination. Would Christian voters follow those leaders? What would the impact be of social issues on this presidential race, and how will they determine the outcome, or will they? Lots of questions to ask, and we're going to try to get some answers to those questions this hour here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine, and my guest this hour is Dennis Goldford, professor of politics at Drake University and author of The American Constitution and the Debate Over Originalism. He joins us by telephone, and you can too. Here are the numbers. 800-642-1234. 263-1890. Go ahead and start calling right now. We'll take calls as soon as we get some. But first, let's bring in Professor Goldford. Good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, even at 6.
I hear you there. Rudolph Giuliani, ever since he put his hat in the ring, his name in the hat, or however you want to massacre that metaphor, has had some problems with the right wing of the Republican Party over some of his social issue stands. Now we see some people like James Dobson and some of other prominent Christian conservative political leaders saying, hey, if it's Giuliani, we're out of here. In fact, Dobson went as far as saying that he would waste his vote before he would vote for a pro-abortion candidate. How serious do you think this threat is?
I do think this is serious. This is an example of, or a manifestation of, the reason why most commentators and most Republicans, for that matter, have said for a long time that it's hard to imagine Rudy Giuliani actually getting the Republican nomination. The contrast with that, of course, is the fact that he does lead in the polls, although it's very early at this point, and he does have some support among Christian conservatives. But this is certainly the flashpoint for Republicans of a Giuliani campaign, and the fascinating thing about it, of course, is whether, in fact, a Giuliani nomination, if successful, would crack, if not shatter, the basis of the Republican electoral coalition as it's existed for 25 years.
Will Christians, can we generalize about how Christians are going to vote? I've seen polling indicating that Giuliani actually has some significant support among evangelical Protestants.
He does, and that's the question here. For those evangelical Protestants who support Giuliani, the main factor seems to be, of course, the question of Islamic radicalism, the war on terror, and such. I mean, 9/11 was Giuliani's ticket to the big leagues. Nobody would have been looking at him seriously as a presidential candidate if it weren't for those awful events in 2001. Now, for those Christian conservatives who do support him, as best we can find out, their view is that while social issues like abortion are important, he has promised, on the one hand, to appoint what he calls strict constructionist judges. It's a term that's not really used in the legal community very much anymore because it doesn't mean many precise things anymore. But for the public at large, it tends to be a code word for somebody like Justice Scalia who would oppose abortion rights. But the Christian conservatives who support him are willing to accept that because for those folks, those who support him, the paramount ideological struggle of the age is the struggle against radical Islam and Islamists. And they're willing to put abortion on, I wouldn't say a back burner, but I'd say a side burner because they think he's the one best suited to lead the country in what to them is a titanic struggle.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number to join our conversation this morning. You can use that number anywhere you can hear the broadcast. In Madison, we'd prefer it if you'd use 263-1890. What do you think about this issue? Will Christian leaders bolt from the Republican Party if Rudy Giuliani is named its nominee? What are his chances, given the opposition that he is facing from some Christian conservatives? Or does it even matter? Do you care? What influence do certain leaders of certain organizations have over how you behave in the privacy of the voting booth? Those are some questions we'd like to ask and have answered this hour as we take a look at the presidential race for 2008. We're going to take a short break to check weather around the state of Wisconsin, and then we'll be back with our guest and your phone calls. But let me give the numbers one more time. 800-642-1234, toll-free, 263-1890 if you're calling us from Madison. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine today, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 17 after 6, John Munson in for Joy Cardine this morning here on the Ideas Network. Here's what's coming up a little later today. Has learning always been difficult for you? Well, after 11 this morning, Larry Mueller talks with a teacher and speech therapist who says you are smarter than you think. No one's ever said that to me. Anyway, that's after 11 this morning here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about some statements that were made by certain leaders of the Christian right, indicating that if Rudy Giuliani becomes the nominee of the Republican Party, they may take a walk and go find someone else to support. James Dobson even said that he would throw away his vote before he would vote for Rudy Giuliani for president. But their question remains, how important are social issues in this election? And we crave your input as well. 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. My guest this hour is Dennis Goldford, professor of politics at Drake University and author of The American Constitution and the Debate Over Originalism. And he joins us by telephone. The importance of social issues, you touched on this earlier before the break. I can tell you that a poll taken in Wisconsin not all that long ago indicated this was the general public, this wasn't just Christian voters, indicated that social issues didn't even crack the top 10 national issues. It seems to me that security and the economy are going to pretty much trump everything. How important is it that certain Christian leaders have kind of gotten their backs up over a Giuliani candidacy?
The importance lies at the margin. In a tight race, of course, any particular constituency matters immensely. Some data we have from 2004, for example, shows that roughly 22% of President Bush's vote, total vote, came from Christian conservatives in 2004. So in a close race, those particular voters could make the difference. A feather on the scale always makes a difference in those marginal instances. So this is a group of people in the Republican Party who by themselves certainly don't constitute a majority, but they're a group without which Republicans are hard-pressed to win. And so that's the dilemma for Republicans.
Giuliani has some other issues or some other baggage that is troubling to some Christian conservatives. He is on his third marriage. He is estranged from his children. He's got some a little more liberal than mainstream Republican views on a number of other social issues, not just abortion. How important are these other issues?
Well, again, they matter for Christian and social conservatives. I believe it was Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention, the president, who said some point over this past year that Giuliani's had one divorce too many. In other words, he's had two of them. He's on his third wife. And these are folks who've become active in politics, many of them originally, because of what they thought was a lack of principle, a lack of morality in public life. And so they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Do they support somebody who, in their view, doesn't support those principles as strongly as they'd like, but who might have the chance of winning, and especially fending off possibly Hillary Clinton? Or do they wash their hands and say, nope, it just gets my hands dirty to vote for somebody like that. I'm not going to participate in that election at all. That, again, is this problem always politicians have between purists and pragmatists.
Let's go to the phones and take a call from Gary in Hayward. Gary, good morning. Thanks for calling us today.
Good morning. Thank you. My concern is the use of the term, by the host of Christians on this issue, which is really an issue of voting by Christian conservatives. I would like to ask the host, or the guest, what his thoughts are on general Christian views between the Democrat and Republican issues during this election.
Well, there are a lot of people who consider themselves Christians, certainly, who don't identify with what we normally call Christian conservatism. Those who, and I've been trying to be very careful to say Christian conservatives as opposed to Christians generally. These, again, are people who tend to be mostly evangelical Protestants who, as I've said, have a particular focus on the notion of politics being about moral matters and social matters. And they are, again, relatively small proportion of the electorate overall, but they're a core constituency of the Republican Party. There's certainly people who consider themselves Christian in some sense or another, who support other Republican candidates and who indeed support Democratic candidates. So that's why we've got to be very careful, as the caller suggests, on how we use this. It's like referring to the Hispanic vote or the women's vote. These general terms cover wide differences in opinion among various subgroups within these general categories.
Well, I'll make my apologies to Gary and the rest of our audience for painting with a broad brush. I'll watch that for the rest of the hour. I have to say, conversations that I've had recently with evangelical Protestant ministers in my own area indicate that there may be some shifting, not on social issues, but on the idea of the involvement of evangelicals in politics, period, and the feeling that somehow there's been almost a betrayal of their trust by administrations that have had chances to really make big changes in social issues and just haven't done it over the last two decades.
Even Ronald Reagan, who is of course a mythical figure for Republicans generally and for many, many Christian conservatives, was considered by numerous politically active evangelical Protestants in the Republican Party as having given just lip service to their particular goals during his 4 years. So yes, they've had many disappointments. In a sense, there are two sides to that. One is they believe they're disappointed in what Republicans have done or not done for them. And the other side, in terms of contemporary movements, is there are some Christian conservatives, a guy named Cizik, I can't remember how to pronounce his name, who's involved with the National Association of Evangelicals, who's argued that Christian conservatives had a broader concern than just abortion and gay rights and things like that. They should be concerned with stewardship of the earth for an environmentalist approach. But other Christian conservatives think that takes them away from their key focus, which is the social and moral question of the time. So you're right, there is some movement among those folks, catapulted into significance with a decline in support for certainly President Bush and Republicans generally among younger evangelicals, although it's not that they're going to go jump into the Democratic Party yet. So there is some movement, there is some flux.
Let's take a call next from Tim in Jefferson. Tim, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Mike,
go
my
ahead.
My concern is that if too many people get caught up in the Giuliani thing and don't vote Republican because of abortion issues, then those votes may go to Hillary.
So your concern, anybody would be better than Hillary Clinton, is kind of your view?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim.
That's the strategic question a purist always has to make. Again, purists tend to want to say, I want to vote for a person who represents my views, who I'm proud to associate with, and so on and so forth. The pragmatist approach, or I'm not going to vote at all. The pragmatist approach is that nobody's perfect, nobody perfectly mirrors my views, and there's whatever my views might be, there's always someone who's less bad than the other person. And this caller takes that impression, that position, that no matter what he may be discomforted by in Rudy Giuliani, if, again, he gets the nomination, Giuliani is certainly a much lesser evil than, for this gentleman, Hillary Clinton would be. But that's the kind of pragmatic compromise that really is one of the off-putting things about politics for religiously motivated actors to begin with. They came into politics because they thought there was too much of that. So that, again, is the difficulty. The Democrats have the same side with the anti-war bunch who think Hillary betrayed them by supporting the resolution to go to war in Iraq. She's not pure enough for them on that side. So, again, politicians really struggle with purists because, as Ronald Reagan even said at one point with criticism from Republican conservatives, he said, somebody who's with me 80% of the time is not my enemy. But the problem for purists is it's either 100% or no percent. And this caller sounds like someone willing to settle for half a loaf instead of nothing at all. And that's the question of what Christian conservatives will do.
800-642-1234. 263-1890. Those are numbers to call. Those are the numbers to call. It's a little early in the morning for my tongue to be fully functional. To join our program, and I'll address a question directly to our listeners. Are you a Christian conservative? Are you going to be voting in 2008? And if so, would you support Rudolph Giuliani? Are you someone who would stay home rather than vote for somebody who doesn't agree with you 100% of the time? Let us know what you think. I'm intrigued by the idea of the pragmatic conservative, the pragmatic Christian, because that almost seems like an oxymoron.
That's right. That's the difficulty here, and especially for fundamentalist Christians as opposed to evangelicals, there was a long tradition of not participating in political matters because of the belief that, again, things of this world are fundamentally corrupt, and that the individual should focus on his or her own question of salvation, that you don't participate politically. What happened 30 years ago, especially with the entrance of Jimmy Carter into politics as a publicly known evangelical, was that marked the entrance of many fundamentalists and many more evangelical Protestants into the political process, which, as we know, has helped reshape the dynamic of presidential elections as well as many others down ticket.
We're at news time. We'll take a break for the news, and when we come back, we'll have more time for your phone calls and questions and comments at 800-642-1234 and 263-1890. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36. I'm John Munson, and for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network. During this 6 o'clock hour, we're talking about the candidacy of Rudy Giuliani, who's currently leading the Republican pack for the 2008 nomination. But his abortion views are suspect to Christian conservative leaders, some of whom say they'll back a third-party candidate if he wins the nomination. And that's what we're talking about this hour. Well, I want to ask you, dear listener, are you a Christian conservative? Who are you planning to support for president in 2008? Is anybody but Hillary your choice? What are you thinking? How important is the abortion issue in your voting patterns? Is that the only thing you look at when you go into the voting booth? Are there other issues that have perhaps taken center stage and may be more important? Clearly, it's the common wisdom that former Mayor Giuliani is counting on pragmatic approach to voting that many are presumed to take. My guest this hour is Dennis Goldford, professor of politics at Drake University. He's also the author of The American Constitution and the Debate Over Originalism. We've been focusing on Rudolph Giuliani. What about the other candidates? Mitt Romney seems to have changed his position on abortion once since he's entered the race for the Republican nomination, has he not?
He says, of course, he has. That cuts both ways for him. I mean, Romney apparently seemed to think that the establishment candidates among Republicans was going to be John McCain. Of course, McCain's had his problems. And the Romney strategy evidently was to try to run hard to the right of McCain or any other establishment candidate. So he's targeted Christian conservatives as a core constituency. And he certainly is much more strongly pro-life than he was previously, particularly when he was governor of Massachusetts. But then the question is, how trustworthy is he among Christian conservatives? How trustworthy is that conversion? He's justified that by saying, look, Ronald Reagan made that same journey. So did Henry Hyde, former congressman from Illinois. And so did George Bush, President 41, George H.W. Bush. So he's trying to claim that, no, this is my firm view. I had my conversion on the road to Damascus, so to speak. He speaks the language in many ways of Christian conservatives. But many of them don't trust his sincerity in this regard. The problem is that those candidates who are clearly, from a Christian conservative perspective, pro-life, Sam Brownback, Mr. Governor Huckabee, Mike Huckabee, and a couple of others, at this point at least, don't seem able to go the distance. So they're looking for somebody who seems to be both electable and right, 100% right, on the social issues. And that's where social and religious conservatives in the Republican Party are struggling.
Is there a risk that the pro-life vote could be split between a number of candidates, and that would allow someone like Rudolph Giuliani to win the nomination despite opposition from pro-life groups?
That's certainly, number one, the case now that it is split, because Giuliani does have some support. And it's also the case, I think, that Giuliani would hope that would be the case. They're as strongly and as passionately as religious conservatives feel about the abortion issue and other social issues like that, they are, in terms of the priority of that issue in their electoral calculus, they are a minority in the country as a whole and in the Republican Party, even although they're a bigger proportion of the Republican Party. So there are a lot of suburban soccer moms out there, so to speak, who are more moderate in terms of social issues but support the Republicans for other reasons. Giuliani thinks, and he makes the claim, that he could put some states in play, particularly in the Northeast, that if any other Republican candidate on the list right now is the nominee, would never have a chance at getting. The problem for him is whatever he might gain among independents, would he lose among traditional Republican Christian conservatives? So certainly he does have apparently a divide-and-conquer strategy.
Let's go back to the phones and take a call from Chuck in Endeavor. Chuck, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I've been listening with great interest to you and your guest. I would really like to see a time and place in America where candidates, political candidates, would not even proclaim what their religious background is, and we could really focus on the issues. And I think that moral and ethical issues could be gleaned from how they stand on things like fairness in economic matters, environmental issues, social justice, without having to delve in religion. Now, a little while ago, and I can't verify this, I heard a commentator on television suggest that actually the agnostics and atheists comprise about 22% of the American population, and that if that were true, that they would actually be a larger minority than, say, minority groups or women or, you know, different minority groups. But it would be interesting, I think, to see a Dobson-advocated candidate get into the race, but I would be surprised that due to the strict guidelines and unrealistic, the static guidelines that these right-wing conservative Christians endorse, people just can't live up to that. It is not realistic to expect people to actually live that way in that mold. And I would be surprised if that candidate, if they really ran on most principles, could get more than 8% of the vote.
Thanks for the call, Chuck.
It's basically a fact of American political culture that there is a certain moralism involved in politics. I mean, certainly from a European perspective, they sort of look at us and think we're a bit odd, to put it charitably. But whether one likes it or dislikes it, there's always been a certain moralism to American politics. And in fact, many Christian conservatives argue, how come it was okay to be moralistic regarding slavery and to be moralistic regarding civil rights when these were views associated perhaps with more liberal folks? And it's not okay to be moralistic with regard to the kinds of issues that drive them. So they complain about a bit of a double standard. I don't think the agnostic or atheist segment of the population is, to the extent we could measure that, is as large as 20%. George Bush, H.W. Bush, once said, and he surely didn't mean it in terms of constitutional qualification because there is no religious test for office, but he said once he didn't think an atheist could ever be elected president of the U.S. And that's probably the case. It's not that we're electing a theologian in chief or anything like that, but Americans tend to see morality and concerns for moral issues grounded in some sort of religious orientation, even if it's just sort of general sense of religiousness, as opposed to some really strict, highly ideological aspect of religion. And this is just, you can see the Democrats attempting to adapt to this, talking more about faith and values, even if it sounds at times a bit awkward. It's just a fact of American political culture.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number to call to join our discussion this morning. 800-642-1234. If you're calling us from Madison, please use our local number. That's 263-1890. We have some lines available for you. 800-642-1234 and 263-1890. What's your position? What about your candidate's religious affiliation or lack thereof? What about their position on abortion? How much difference will that make to you? And would you support a third-party candidate if that candidate was reflecting your views up and down the line? Those are some questions that we're discussing this hour with our guest, Dennis Goldford, a professor of politics at Drake University and author of The American Constitution and Debate Over Originalism. 800-642-1234, 263-1890. Those are the numbers to use to join in. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 6:47 on this Tuesday morning, October the 2nd, 2007. Here's what's coming up a little bit later on today on Talk of the Nation after 1 o'clock. Among the comments Iran's president made last week was his denial of homosexuals in Iran. After 1 on Talk of the Nation, a new movie goes to 12 countries to explore homosexuality in the Muslim world. The filmmaker Pervez Sharma joins guest host Anthony Brooks. That's on Talk of the Nation coming up after 1 today here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking presidential politics and the Christian right. There is a group of conservative Christian leaders who have said that they might consider a third-party candidate if Rudy Giuliani becomes the GOP nominee for 2008, and we're discussing that idea and a number of related concepts to that here this morning with Dennis Goldford, professor of politics at Drake University and author of the book The American Constitution and the Debate Over Originalism. Let's go right back to the phones and take a call from Ione in Neenah. Good morning. Thanks for calling us.
Good morning. I'm kind of curious what happened to the separation of church and state. I listened to some of the Republican debate on public TV last week, and quite a few of them sounded more like evangelical ministers And the way they worded things was kind of couched into their political presentations.
Well, what about it? Does the church-state argument enter into presidential politics, Professor Goldford?
Well, it certainly does, but again, you have to remember that at least some Christian conservatives argue that this idea of separation of church and state is either a myth, or we can say there's separation of church and state, but not separation of religion and state. I mean, there's an old American tradition, leaving aside particular sectarian differences, that religion in public life is a necessary condition of Republican, small r, Republican virtue, self-governance, and so forth, that you can't have moral standards and the capacity for self-government without a grounding in some sort of religious basis. And from the standpoint of Christian conservatives, ever since at least the Engel and Abingdon decisions in the early 1960s that disallowed Bible reading and organized prayer in the schools, not any prayer, but organized prayer, their belief was that religion has been driven out of public life to the detriment of American society. I mean, Justice Scalia has often very pithy and witty, if not aggressive ways of putting matters, and he once said in an opinion, you know, has religion become something like pornography that you do only in the privacy of your own home? And there are many folks who think that there is a certain religious dimension to American life that's been driven out over the past 40 years to the detriment of American society, and they point to increased divorce rates and juvenile delinquency and political corruption and things like that. And they don't want a state church, but they say we need more religion in our public life so that we have good standards and good moral values.
Let's go next to Sherry in New London. Sherry, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I just listened to a comment. I've been very interested in this discussion. I'm a Christian, but my and it sounded like your guest didn't believe that Democrats could be were comfortable in their religion. I think that my point is that I'm interested in moral things like equity in economics, global warming, human rights issues, and I'm a nurse taking care of children, and I'm very interested in the welfare and health care of our least able to take care of themselves. And I think those are strong moral issues that the Democrat Party are standing for.
Oh,
and I'll take my response off the air.
Thanks, Sherry.
There's no question about that, and I certainly didn't suggest that Democrats weren't comfortable with religion. I said that many of the Democratic candidates, when they talk about it, seem a little awkward, seem unsure about how to talk about it. I had a call after the 2004 election, which was widely considered to have been certainly swayed by Christian conservatives in favor of President Bush. They voted 4-1 for him and made the difference, certainly the difference in Iowa and several other states. And it was a religion reporter, and she wanted to talk about the so-called values voters. And I said, who do you mean by that? And she said, well, you know, these Christian conservatives who supported President Bush. I said, but now wait a minute. Kerry voters had values, too. They're just different from or have a different focus from those values of Bush voters. And she backed off a little bit and said, yeah, she really should talk that way. So there's no question but that there are all sorts of moral values. It's just what we've had for 20 years or 25 years is Christian conservatives focusing not on a kind of social gospel or a social dimension of moral values as it is private sexual morality, having to do with the family and sexuality and things like that. That has been, rightly or wrongly, where their focus on moral values has been.
Let's go next to Scott in West Salem. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. I just had a couple comments. I didn't catch the whole show, but I've caught enough to make me call in. I am a Christian. I don't know if I'm necessarily a fundamental or how you classify me, but true Christians, we don't vote on our conscience. What we do is we vote on what God states in the Bible that we're supposed to hold his standards. As far as one of the last callers talking about the candidates voting or holding their policies and stuff on religion and or not that he didn't want them to hold on religion. I don't recall Mike Huckabee announcing that he was a pastor on his candidacy trail there. That was one other statement I wanted to. Oh, as far as Giuliani, we don't want to vote on him because of the marriage issues, because it states in the Bible clearly that we're not supposed to divorce. And as far as Hillary is concerned, the reason why we don't want to vote for Hillary is because it states in the Bible that we're not supposed to, the lady or woman is not supposed to hold authority over a man. Now, do we think that a woman cannot be president, or can they not hold any type of office, or they're not qualified? No, there's a lot of women that are qualified for it. But we just have to follow what the Bible states. We didn't write the Bible. That's God's word.
This caller points out, I think, where precisely the conflict is in religion and politics. For many people, politics is not about God's word. It may be informed by that, but politics is a matter of dealing with secular matters. Even the passage saying, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's." On the one hand, there's a danger of sort of absorbing Caesar into God, and the caller suggests that kind of way of looking at things. On the other hand, there's a danger of absorbing God into Caesar, being sort of rankly secularist, and that's the fear of a lot of Christian conservatives toward people who think religion has no place in public life. But there's a tension between the two that's always present. And the problem is, for American politics, religion is about absolutes, but politics is about compromise. So how do they fit together? And that's the dilemma. And for those folks who think politics is about secular matters, enabling us to live together so we can live our personal lives in our own ways as we see fit, according to our own conscience and own sense of what God might require, if that's your belief, those who want to come along and say, well, politics is about God's word, are very threatening to them.
Let's take a call quickly from Tim in Oconomowoc. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. I think that there's a real good chance that the Republican Party is going to be brought back together to its fiscal conservatism and its respect for the Constitution by Ron Paul, who's a pro-life candidate. He's against the war. He's very much for homeschooling and defending the borders and reducing debt. And he likes the fact that the United States needs to remain an independent and sovereign nation. I think the core issues that Giuliani are talking about are just, so divisive to the Republican Party. I think it's going to take someone like Ron Paul to bring it back together, and I think he's got a real good chance in the primaries, even though the media doesn't seem to want to talk about him.
We've got about a minute left for a response, Professor Goldfried.
Ron Paul represents a stream of libertarian conservatism that goes back a good 100 years in the Republican Party. Though he's anti-war, he's not secretly a Democrat or anything like that. It's a kind of libertarian conservatism. But given the dynamics of Republican presidential politics, he has to be considered a long shot at this point.
Let's try and sum up a little bit here. We've got just a little bit of time left in this hour. I'll ask you to I shouldn't ask you to get out your crystal ball, because that clearly would be witchcraft. But if you were going to give odds, how do you think this is going to play out by the time we get to get done with the primaries? Is Giuliani really the presumptive nominee, or is somebody else going to emerge and capture these conservative Christians and win the Republican nomination?
It is completely in flux at this point. At this point in 2003, on the Democratic side, Howard Dean was the obvious Democratic nominee.
And 4 weeks out, in mid-December of 2003, John Kerry's campaign was on life support. It was almost dead, and yet he won the caucuses and won the nomination. So there's enough flux, certainly, on both sides, but particularly on the Republican side, that we just, at this point, can't predict.
Thank you so much, Professor Goldford, for spending this time with us this morning.
Always a pleasure.
Dennis Goldford, professor of politics at Drake University. He's currently co-authoring a new edition of a book on the Iowa caucuses. Karen Prager produced this, Leo Duran produced this program, and Karen Prager handled on-air production for us. It's program 10-2A, and if you'd like a copy of it, you can call the radio store at 800-747-7444. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.